Cessnat Show, broadcasting live from the Skyview Network Studios.
It's good Wednesday. Thanks for being with us. We have Dragan Bender on the show today. We're excited about this. Eric and I have been watching Summer League. And yeah, granted, it's the middle of July. Some people take the easy way out and say, oh, this is the slowest time of the year and all that stuff. No, it's busy every day. You just have to work. And you don't fabricate something. You just throw something together. It may not be for a football fan today. You can't wait to get through this week because really next week you start to get it ramped up and you can see the end in sight. But if you haven't been paying attention to the Suns, even though they're playing against some guys that I don't think have any business being around an NBA court, the Suns happen to have one of the teams that looks very, very good and is loaded with guys that have experience versus guys that are going to be in the D League and guys that are going to be chasing their dream. And there's nothing wrong with that for those guys. Not saying you're bagging on the players. It's just the quality of the competition so far. But I do believe that if you're the fourth overall pick in the draft and you're looking around at things, you know, that Dragan Bender should come on the show today and that we should talk to him about what it's like as an 18-year-old in Vegas. No, I'm just kidding. We're going to talk to him about the three games that he's played so far and just some things I've got on my mind. So I'm looking forward to that. We started today, if we're going through the news of the day, and I'll get to the All-Star game a little bit later on, and some comments that Pedro made yesterday about Paul Goldschmidt that I think are ones that are bear watching as we go. Because when Pedro says things like, I'm not saying that this is going to happen, but when Adrian Gonzalez leaves the Dodgers the same time Goldschmidt's contract, you know, when Pedro drops that, it's pretty interesting stuff. So we'll hear those comments and give some context to that. Actually, I thought the All-Star game last night, they bailed too early on the starters, and something needs to be done on that. I'd imagine that most of you were not sticking around after Mike Trout got pulled in the sixth inning or David Ortiz got pulled early. I needed more David Ortiz, and I'd like to see more of Mike Trout. That's just me. And I know there's this whole, it means so much because now the home field is deciding the World Series. Well, the home field is that important. Then you better have the best players on the field for most, if not all, of the game and not worry about getting in a player from said team that's not very good. And that includes Paul Goldschmidt, okay? I mean, you know, it's important for fans and Mike Trout. Mike Trout's on a bad team too, but Mike Trout is one of the best players in the game. You want to see him out there. I can't help that all the Cubs were elected and Goldschmidt was not. Maybe the players need to vote on the starters because the magnitude of the game, at least what we're told the magnitude of the game is, which is, well, this means a lot. Well, if it means a lot, then have the best out in the field. That's all. That's all I'm saying. And Ortiz, the way that it ended for him, it was fine. But I would have rather seen him stay out on the field. I don't need to see guys like Mark Trumbo, who struck out more. Like, Eric, did you watch any of the game last night? You see the All-Star game last night? We'll get back to Eric in a bit. The game last night, we'll touch on that in the next segment. So I think the news of the day, you start with Tom Brady. And it came out this morning, the Deflategate appeal was denied by the second U.S. Circuit Court. And if you're an Arizona Cardinal fan, some of you did not like my take, and that's fine. It's part of the deal. Some of you just want to have the easiest road possible to secure a victory. I, on the other hand, tend to look at it as if you're paying really good money to go see a really good product, you don't go to Hamilton to see the backup singer. You don't. You don't go out to watch the New England Patriots and pay full price, sit here the whole offseason, be all worked up, and get excited to see Jimmy Garoppolo. Now, if you like the easy road traveled, then you're thrilled today. You got a break. You got a big break. And sometimes it's better to be lucky than good. Fortunately, I think the football team here in town is going to be good. But anybody who tries to convince me that not having Tom Brady on the field is something that is great, then you're just kidding yourself. Taking a Hall of Famer off the field. Now, whatever he's been accused of, we've all read it and how he's gone about it. And he has fought it, and the commissioner has come down on him, and the commissioner, it looks like, is going to get over on him. Like, I can't imagine the Supreme Court of our country, of the United States, coming off vacation just to hear Tom Brady. That's his last hope. That's his last chance. So in that space, it looks like he's done for the first four games of the season. It was a one-sentence release. Like, don't waste our time. You're out of here. You're suspended. Deal with it. So now if you're the Cardinals, you're in a really interesting situation because it's going to be Sunday night. The game will be sold out. Everybody will be jacked up, geeked up, because it's the opener for a team that had a good run last year all the way to the, until Carolina just crushed them. They've had a nice off season. They've done some very smart moves, I think. Really like what Steve Keim has done. How can you not like where Bruce Arians is with his aggressive play calling? Hasn't come back to bite him in the butt that much. Some fans around the Valley, some fans I talked to, they're Cardinal fans. If you get them aside and say, what do you really think? They're like, I think he's a little too aggressive. I myself think that's his style, and it's gotten the Cardinals this far. So I'm fine with all of that. The thought, though, that the Cardinals, if they don't win this game, okay, let's just look at it from that perspective. And yeah, I'm sitting here on July 13th, the day that Tom Brady gets another setback in his deal. Well, now most every Cardinal fan is of the opinion they're going to win the game. We're going to win. We're going to win. And if you don't win that game, how do you come off of 0-1 with a Tom Brady-less team? You had all offseason and a home game. So it's a must-win for them. Let's be straight about this. The expectation is so high. And now the best player on the planet's not playing in all likelihood. So if you lose this game, it's just set up to be an enormous lead balloon. You are expected to now win this game. There will be no excuses if you don't win this game. You're going to lose some games along the way. Like last year, if you really looked at the Cardinals top to bottom, there were some weeks where they just didn't play very well. And we sat here on Mondays and said, yeah, they won the game. Didn't look very good in the process. And I felt like as the season progressed, they got better and they got better. So, the point of what happened today with Brady, it's not unexpected. This is no great shock. But me, I'm disappointed that he's not going to be playing in this game. And again, the Supreme Court could come back in at the last minute, throw a curveball, but I just don't see that happening. So that's the story on Brady, and that's as of this morning. The other story that caught my eye, and I want a full segment on baseball because there's so much going on there. So I want to get into what caused a real stir yesterday among people in the Olympics, in the Olympic movement, and in the game of golf. We touched on it briefly at the end of yesterday's show, that there were none of the top four players are going now to Rio. None of them. And they fought so hard to get golf in there, and now these guys don't want to play. And if it's the Zika virus, whatever it may be, they just don't want to go. What's interesting to me is two of the top four players weighed in on this. Tomorrow is another major. I will sit here and watch tomorrow, while I'm doing the show tomorrow, watching golf and doing a show. Probably in that order. That's just how I'm wired. When it's a major, I'm all about it. I'm not good. All right, the baseball All-Star game. So some things I didn't like about last night. Pedro had some comments yesterday that kind of flew by some people, but some of you did catch on to it. So I'm going to bring them back about Paul Goldschmidt and his future with the Diamondbacks. Dragan Bender is going to be with us at the bottom of the hour and much, much more. Sports360AZ.com. We partner with the Arizona Republic, AZ Central Sports. I'm Brad Sussmat. Dragan Bender comes up in about 10 minutes from Las Vegas at the Summer League. Sports360AZ.com. We partner with the Arizona Republic, AZ Central Sports. Eric is going to Vegas tomorrow, so we're going to talk with Eric in a little bit about his big adventure. And why is it that Todd Graham is not taking DeMario Richard or Kalen Ballage, but he's taking Tim White? I get it. You can get the Olympic stuff with him and kind of get through that. Tayshaun Smallwood is going tomorrow. Those are the two for ASU. And he's going to be asked about the quarterbacks. Eric's going over there tomorrow, and it's very simple what's going to happen. Eric's going to get Todd Graham, and Todd's going to be asked by everybody nationally about what Ray had to say in the last few weeks, what's going to happen at quarterback, and how good are your running backs. I think that's the basic. I mean, the guys like Doug Howler and Chris Cartman, and those guys are going to go a lot deeper. But by and large, There'll be a lot of, we're an underdog this year. A year ago, we were supposed to be this and that. Maybe it's better if we're an underdog and all that. So I'm not minimizing why we're going. We go every year. It's just, this is a year. I think in Rich Rod's case, he's got his quarterback battle going on. He's sending Nate Phillips as one of them that's going out this year. So we'll talk with Eric about that in a little bit. All right, to the All-Star game last night. The All-Star game was entertaining. My son did not want to watch it. He is 11, okay? He wanted to go out and do Pokemon Go. My daughter, who's 20, didn't want to watch it. She wanted to go play Pokemon. My other daughter, who's 22, wanted to go hang out with her friends. So here I am, 50 white male, sitting there watching the Major League Baseball All-Star game. The next time you guys go to the ballpark, just look around the ballpark and tell me the age that you see around the ballpark. What's the demographic that you see around a baseball stadium? I'm not sitting here attacking the game, okay, because I love the game of baseball. And I get what they're trying to do last night. They had 31 new faces on the roster, 31 guys that had never been in an All-Star game, 31. And so as I'm watching it, it's like, wow, I thought I was pretty up to speed on baseball, but I have no idea who this guy is who's coming into play right now. And so they're trying to develop the younger players. The problem with this is when you say that we're going to do the All-Star game and we're going to make it really matter because the winner of the game gets home field advantage in the postseason, you have to ask yourself, why are the best players then not on the field? I had a couple of people last night, baseball friends of mine, that said, you know, back in the day, if you were the star players, you played the whole game or most of the game. He said, go look it up. You know, one guy was very adamant. Willie Mays, Brad, played into extra innings of All-Star games. I don't know that. I didn't go look it up. All-Star games are just kind of there and gone for me. So that part of the game, if you're going to have it really matter, you cannot take the star players out of the game. You can't take the Mike Trouts out of the game. Paul Goldschmidt could get into the game, but if you're the first baseman of the National League and your name is not Paul Goldschmidt, in this current setup, you're going to play because you were voted in by fans. Baseball's an interesting dilemma. I think if you were to sit with Tony Clark, and we know Tony well from the Diamondbacks, and actually I covered him in high school and in college. If you were to sit with Tony Clark, the head of the Players Union, and you were to get Rob Manfred together with him as well, and look at them in a room and say, we got a problem here with this All-Star game that's supposed to mean everything, and yet we're trying to get in all these players that aren't as good as the ones that are out on the field. We're trying to get in all these pitchers, and I get it with pitchers to an extent. Pitchers, you want them to go an inning, you want them to go two innings, you want to get them out of there. But again, not that Johnny Cueto was any good last night. If it's for all the marbles, then you should end up having the best pitchers out there, not trying to get a guy in for a half an inning because he's playing for said team that not many people care about. So they're trying to do this balancing act, and I felt like last night I wanted more David Ortiz, I wanted more of Mike Trout. That was one thing that was on my mind. And this is something that they've got to do. I don't know if it's having the players vote on the starters. I think that would be a very smart way to go. Fans, you can vote in the rest of them. We all know who the starters should be. You can't tell me the Cubs infield was the best starting lineup that could have been rolled out there last night. You just can't. So if you let the players vote for the starters, fans vote for the rest of it, there'll be the initial column that's written or guy behind a microphone that says, oh, these owners, these greedy owners, these ball players, they don't care about us, the fan, the paying public. And I'd say that's bull. Best interest is in the game. Keep it within the game. So that caught my eye. The trade deadline is now 19 days away. And here's a different way of thinking about it if you're the Diamondbacks. There's no question they're going to tear apart more of their roster. If Daniel Hudson's not the next guy gone, then I'd be really surprised. Trading Brad Ziegler was a smart move. You could be one of those teams, okay? And roll with me on this one. you could be one of those teams that says, we're not in it for this year, but we're darn well going to be back in it for next year. So there's some assets that may come available now. And I'd rather go chase, if it's Aroldis Chapman, after all the garbage that went on with him in the offseason. He went through it with the Yankees. He's going to be sitting out there. The Diamondbacks pursued him in the past. They don't have a closer. This idea of bringing Brad Ziegler back sounds all well and good to fill talk show time. Don't believe that's the right way to go for this organization. No offense to Brad Ziegler, nice guy. Aroldis Chapman is a huge upgrade. I think Chapman ends up with Washington. That just makes too much sense for him to go there if you connect all the dots in it. But that's still somebody to look at. Andrew Miller, there's another name to look at in the closer's role. My point is, if Tony La Russa and Dave Stewart really want to get this thing turned around, don't just tear it apart in July. You can go get some assets now that a year from now you're saying, we went about it a little differently at last year's trade deadline. We acquired some players teams wanted to get rid of. We gave up some talent. And thus, we're already ahead of the game coming into next season. It's kind of like having an injury on a team, and the player comes back and is able to help you out. Different way of looking at it, not traditional, but I think that's a way the Diamondbacks should explore right now. All right, from that, one other thing on the All-Star game. It's terrific in with the Tony Gwynn and Rod Carew, who, by the way, were close, are now going to have the National League and American League batting titles are named after Carew in the American League and Tony in the National League. And those of you that have heard me through the years know my fondness and closeness with Tony. And so that was so even a little emotional when I heard that last night. It was cool. All right, one other thing about the Diamondbacks. So Pedro was with us yesterday, and some of you did catch this because I got the notes. Hey, you didn't make a big deal out of it. Well, so Pedro talked with Paul Goldschmidt over in San Diego. Pedro has a close relationship with him. Pedro's with us every week, ESPN Baseball Insider Pedro Gomez. And the part about Pedro talking with Goldschmidt about his future in Arizona and what does he think about the current setup. This was from yesterday's show. Let's bring it back.
You know, I talked to him yesterday, and he's always been pretty open when I've spoken to him. So, He is absolutely happy in Arizona. He's not a guy that is always looking at the other yard to see if, you know, hey, are things better over there on that side? Mm-hmm. But having said that, you know, an agent will sit a player down and explain to him, okay, I understand that you're very happy in Arizona, but you're going to be a free agent. You're at a prime age to be a free agent. Mm-hmm. The market for a player like you is enormous, and you know, look at your years in Arizona. There hasn't been a lot of contending going on. If that's something that is important to you, you've got to, you know, think about, because Paul Goldschmidt is not the type of guy that is going to be led by an agent. He's a very strong-willed, you know, I'm going to make the decision based on what I want to do. But an agent's job is also to explain different scenarios. And at that point, Paul Goldschmidt, you know, wouldn't be a human being if he weren't at least going to listen. He's very level-headed.
Right.
So he is going to listen to everything that is explained to him. And if being on a consistent contender is something that he wants to do, you can bet that the market for a guy like that is going to be enormous. And I'm not saying that this is going to be the case, Brad, but if you look at expiring contracts and when Goldschmidt is eligible to be a free agent, well, Adrian Gonzalez's time with the Dodgers is coming to an end very quickly. Paul Goldschmidt is going to be a free agent very quickly. If you just look at kind of connecting the dots, you know that the Dodgers are an organization that can open their checkbooks much wider than any organization in baseball. You never know. I'm just saying you never know.
All right. So that was from yesterday, and something to keep an eye on. That's really good stuff there from Pedro. Right up on the other side, Dragan Bender is going to be with us from Las Vegas. Phoenix Suns first-round draft pick. He's played 3 games now in Vegas. What does he make out of his play so far, the competition, and much, much more. We turn our attention to the Summer League Suns and their first-round pick. That's next. Sports360AZ.com. We partner with the Arizona Republic AZ Central Sports. Brad Sussmath with you. Let's go to Las Vegas. Dragan Bender is with the Suns' first-round draft pick. for a few minutes. A day off from the Summer League. The Summer Suns are back at it tomorrow. They have gone 2-1 so far, and he has made his debut for the Suns. The 18-year-old joins us from Vegas. How are you?
Hi, I'm fine. I'm fine. I'm just heading to the practice, you know, have a day off. Just heading to the practice to prepare for the next game.
How's Vegas been for you? Is this your first time there?
Actually, it's my first time. It's fine so far. You know, we have all this schedule, but, you know, I have some free time to catch up with some friends over here and people, you know, that I've been, you know, knowing a long time.
Yeah. Do you end up going through the resorts and that sort when you have some free time, Dragan, or is everything so nailed down you don't have much free time at all?
Actually, no, we have some free time, you know, after the games and stuff like that. So, you know, I have a couple of friends over here, so I catch up with them, you know, I spend some time with them.
Yeah, the roller coaster over at New York's not bad. Have you been to that one yet? Been to any of those fun places, Caesars or any of that?
Yeah, I actually been to New York a couple of times. You know, I visited some places over there, but you know, it's just, you know, too crowded and too much going on in New York. So probably, you know, I don't like it so much.
Yeah, and the casino too. It's pretty busy there. What have you learned in your three games on the court so far, if anything?
I'm just, you know, adjusting myself to this level, you know, to this pace and to this speed of this game, you know, and pretty much everything, you know. And I'm just, you know, trying to understand the refereeing and stuff like that, you know, being able to make it easier for myself, this translation.
Yeah. Trust me, you'll never be able to understand referees in the NBA. That's just one of the... Through the years, it's... when you say trying to figure or get used to it, in what way, what you can do and what you can't do?
I mean, it's just different, you know, than in Europe. Definitely different players, you know, in a different environment. It's, you know, different court, different ball, pretty much everything is different. So you need some time, you know, to get used to those stuff and, you know, being able to play with these guys on the court.
How do you think you've played so far?
It's fine, you know, it's a beginning for me. And it's, like I said, everything is new for me. So I'm just, you know, trying to build myself, to, you know, to be part of this team and be able to contribute on the course. I mean, I'm just trying to do the things on the court that are going to help us win the games, you know. And I think I'm doing good, you know. I mean, defensive end, you know, I'm pretty solid in the offensive end, you know. Shots up and are going to come, you know, and going to come. And we'll see what's going to be in the next game, but I'm just looking forward to it.
Well, if it means anything, I've seen all three of your games. I think you played well for making the adjustment, because it's not easy coming over here, and I joke about the officiating, but you're used to a certain style on the court and a certain style of play, and I think it's terrific that you're in summer league. I'd say, boy, if I'm giving you a grade, I'd say about an A-. What about you?
I don't know about a grade, but, you know, like you said, I mean, it's a completely new and refereeing and different style of the basketball. So, you know, you have to find your way in the court to adjust yourself to everything, you know, here. And like you said, I mean, this is a great thing, you know, summer league, to be here and to play with these guys and, you know, just to catch up with all these things before the season starts.
Suns first round pick, Dragan Bender, is with us from Las Vegas. The Summer Suns are off until tomorrow. They have gone 2-1 so far. It's good to catch up with the first round pick. What can you do that Devin Booker can't do on the court?
I mean, you know, Devin Booker for us had a major role, you know, in the first two games, and it's really hard to replace him on the court. And that's what I said, you know, yesterday for the media. I mean, you know, since he's not playing, there is, you know, everybody needs to step up and take some plays that he was doing on the court for the team. And, you know, just him being a leader for this team was a huge role. And, you know, with his experience last year in the Summer League and last year in the NBA, gave us a lot in the offensive end, and then, you know, just communicate for, you know, with us and giving us advices on defensive end. It was really a huge role for us. And I think, you know, everybody from our team right now need to, you know, step up and be that, you know, kind of a player that's going to, you know, help us in different ways on the court.
Yeah, I'm kind of having a little bit of fun with you because you could block shots that he can't. I saw your bank shot three and you kind of looked around like, did that just happen? You had a little smile on your face. I mean, he's a very talented player. I guess to be serious about it, what have you learned from him so far in these three games, on or off the court? I know he didn't play yesterday, but just being around him.
Just having him around, you know, it just helped us a lot. Me and Marquise and Tyler, you know, like a young guy that coming to the, you know, summer league for the first time and helping us a lot. And just, you know, having him around to give us advice and how he was doing last year, you know, and to calm us down on the court and, you know, just help us in different ways on the court and off the court. And, you know, just he's, you know, natural leader in this group. And it's really, you know, really great that we have him here around just, you know, like I said, to help us around and to, you know, to make us better each and every day.
What's the largest crowd you've ever played in front of, Dragan?
You know, playing in Maccabi, I play, you know, pretty much every game in a large, you know, a large amount of the people in the gym. So it's not, you know, something new for me.
Yeah, 10,000, 20,000. You've done the 20,000 game.
I think he was on some national team games. He was pretty much close to, I guess, 15 or 20. I don't know, but Maccabi is pretty much like 12 every night.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, just when you get into the regular season and with the Suns, when you run out in front of all the fans and it's sold out for opening night in front of 19,000 fans, I would think that would be a rush for you when you get to that moment. Are you looking forward to being in Phoenix for those types of moments this coming season?
I mean, definitely I'm looking forward to that. You know, it's just a great, great feeling when you enter the gym and there's, you know, 20,000 people around you cheering for you and supporting you. And if you have that behind you, you know, it's a great feel to be on the court and play and give everything for your team.
When you're done with Vegas, do you come back to Phoenix? Where do you go for the rest of your summer?
After a summer league, I go back home, you know, to Croatia just to rest. I wasn't home, you know, since last August, so I'm going to go home to catch up with my family and other friends and work a little bit, you know, and I guess I'm going to be like 2 weeks home. And then I'm going to come back, you know, to Phoenix to just, you know, to start with the workouts and everything before the season starts.
What do you miss most about Croatia? Is it the food? Is it, you know, what is about Croatia that you miss the most?
Definitely my friends. You know, I'm kind of used to, you know, live without my parents, you know, and without, you know, food and, you know, regular stuff in life. But just, you know, not being around my friends, you know, every day and, you know, not being able to catch up with them, you know, it's really hard, and, you know, just miss them a lot. So I'm just looking forward to that.
Well, I have to tell you, talking to you, I would not know that you're 18. Just you and I sitting here having a phone conversation. I have four kids, so it's like I'm talking to a 30-year-old. You know, you're very, very well spoken, very polished, and very, very enjoyable to talk to. I appreciate the time, and I look forward to meeting you in person.
Thank you, sir. Appreciate it.
Have a nice day. There's Dragan Bender with us. 18 years. He's 18. 7-1. Nicely done. Good stuff there from the Summer League. They're playing tomorrow. I watched most of yesterday's game against Miami, and they didn't have Booker. I don't know. I've seen all three of the Summer Suns games. Does that mean that I've got too much time on my hands, or does it mean I'm working too hard, or it's just this is what we're supposed to do? I've sat there and watched them all live. Not even DVR. Just, okay, here it is. We got to watch. Isaiah Thomas yesterday. Whew. That's a hard one. That's a hard one for 2 hours. Sports360AZ.com. We partner with the Arizona Republic. AZ Central Sports. Good get there with Dragan Bender, and we're back with more. Eric's trip to Hollywood. I kept saying Vegas, he reminded me during a break. He's going to Hollywood tonight for the next 3 days. We're on the Pac-12 Football Media Days. We'll talk some ASU and U of A and college football next. I love how media days are going on at the SEC, and to see all the characters, the coaches there. And you would hope that someday the Pac-12 would come to that level. I just don't think the presidents of the conference out here care that much or are going to go that far. And you may say West Coast laid-back style may just be this year because Oregon is down. That shouldn't matter. Shouldn't matter. I think Washington's going to be pretty good. Eric is leaving after the show for Hollywood. And I don't say that in a braggadocious sort of way. He's actually flying into Burbank because you're going to Pac-12 football media days. It's at the Lowe's, right?
Yeah, not the Lowe's hardware store, but the Lowe's hotel and resort in Hollywood. So
nice. Aisle 5, we have garden hoses, and we have David Shaw.
That's right, yeah. I'll be talking to ASU players outside by the fertilizer section. So
that's right. Well, there's a joke there, too. So this year's media days, you and I talked about this briefly yesterday off the air. I don't know. Do you know why they are not taking DeMario Richard or Kalen Ballage? Why it is White and Smallwood?
I don't. I don't have any idea.
Yeah. It's the thing about it, it just seems to me when you do that, you're saying we really don't have a star player, and is that Todd Graham's way of go? Because usually the stars come, but you pointed out Luke Falk's not showing up this year from Washington State, and he's a stud quarterback in this conference.
And I wonder if that's why Washington State isn't bringing him. It's we don't want to build the hype machine just in case. Sometimes teams and coaches think like that, and last year, I mean, it was pretty easy. Jordan Simone, Mike Bercovici, DJ Foster, I believe two of those three were there, or if not all three. I think it was Burko and Simone, actually. But yeah, who knows? I mean, every school handles their internal interviews differently. Christian McCaffrey is the biggest name this year. Last year, Jared Goff was the biggest name. So,
Who are you going to tackle for the show tomorrow? You got anybody? Look at anybody?
Tackle. Well, I don't. I mean, you know how it is out there. I mean, there's a schedule, but in a way, there really is no schedule if you're chasing people. So there could be someone who I'm hoping to talk to that never shows up, and there could be someone who pleasantly walks in front of me, and I stick a cell phone in their ear.
That's very vague.
Yeah.
I mean, you're not gonna stand like at some entrance, back entrance, and wait for the limo with McCaffrey. Because you know I want to talk to him. I've got a crush on him.
That was sort of me in my early to mid-20s. Me in my early 40s isn't really into chasing down athletes with cell phones anymore. Don't take any offense to that, but that's kind of the way it is.
Isn't that in your job description? Chasing down athletes. Hey, come on.
I chase them down, but I don't chase them literally like I used to. Like I used to stand in parking lots and chase guests. I don't do that anymore, so.
I don't do that. It sounds very official on your part. I mean, you get an all-expense-paid trip to Hollywood. Who wouldn't want that? What a glamorous job.
Well, technically Burbank to stay with my in-laws, but yeah, it's neither here nor there.
It's neither here nor there. It all works out. All right, so Rich Rod, then let's flip over from ASU, because I think, tell me if I'm wrong on this from your view, because you follow college football closer than I do even. Todd's going to be asked about Ray's comments about toning it down. Todd's going to be asked about his big predictions last year. This is from national media. Guys like Cartman and Howler, they're going to talk to him about, you know, left tackles, right tackles, depth at linebacker, all that stuff. But I think that the masses are going to want to know who's going to be the quarterback at ASU. And these running backs, yeah, I've already told Cartman, and Chris went crazy on me, which is fine. Fine. I said Kalen Ballage is a dark horse Heisman candidate. Very dark horse, I said. He said, what about DeMario Richards? I said, I'm just saying, that's my guy.
I'm sure someone will ask ASU about their stadium. Someone will ask them, so is the stadium, I mean, that's all we've heard about this offseason is dun dun dun, how is Sun Devil Stadium progressing? So someone will ask Todd Graham about the stadium.
Yeah. And then over on Rich's side, he's going to get asked about his two quarterbacks and where that is. And he's going to say, we're going to have a competition. We're looking for them to compete. And we're going to give it to the best man who wins. I think in Todd's case, if he says anything other than we're going to go with this guy, I wouldn't be surprised. I'd be very surprised if he said, this is the guy. He's not going to do that. If he says we've got three, or even when we talked to him on letter of intent day, remember when he said we've got four? Because the kid's coming in, Sterling Cole. I just don't know where Todd's going to go on the quarterback thing. I think in Rich's case, if he says it's Anu's job to lose, or if he says it's an open competition. Last time we had him on the football show, it was more of an open competition. Beyond that, I don't know if his defense is going to be able to stop anybody.
That would be the question. Young defense, defenses struggled last year. I mean, ASU and U of A in some ways were really mirror images. Offenses that could score points and defenses which allowed big plays and big points. So that will be a theme for the Wildcats this year, is how do you replace Will Parks and some of these other veteran guys in the back of the defense that they lost.
Okay, and then the deal with Josh Rosen, the UCLA quarterback, we both like him, right? You like him?
Yeah, I like him. He won't be there, but I do like him.
He's not coming either.
No, he's not.
Who's been invited to this party? Who we get?
I told you, the biggest name is Christian McCaffrey. That is the biggest name.
That's a good name. But so no Rosen and no Falk, man. And there's what other Arizona player angles, high school kids, You're telling me Utah's bringing someone from Arizona, right? The tackle?
Yeah, J.J. Dealman, who prepped at Desert Vista. At Desert Vista, yeah, will be there, as will Nate Phillips for U of A, the former Bash star wide receiver.
Bash star, okay. Well, good deal. Have some fun there, and what are you hoping to get out of that to bring back? What is your main goal? Because if you don't come back with your main goal, you're going to be just a gloomy Gus, and that's no fun. You're no fun when you're like that.
Well, obviously, I'm going to talk to Mark Helfrich and the Oregon players about Devin Allen competing in the Olympics. I think that's a cool kill two birds with one stone. You got a local kid, and with the Olympics starting less than a month, that will be my main focus. But yeah, I'm just kind of bump around, and sometimes the stories just sort of you stumble onto things. So I have some things in my back pocket, and we'll just kind of see what develops over the next couple of days. But I believe it's ASU on Friday and U of A on Thursday, as they break it up into 2 days. So Rich Rodriguez will speak at 9:30 tomorrow morning, and then they'll do the circuit. And then Arizona State will speak at 9:30 on Friday, and they'll do the circuit. The players and coaches there representing those schools.
I think Rich is going to put on his comedic hat. Remember last year?
It was a little bit salty, but in a good way. I mean, he doesn't really like these media days. I'm sure he'll make it pretty well known that he's not in favor of them, but we'll see.
They're going to the ESPYs tonight, all those coaches. That's why they're doing it at this period in time, so they can all go to the ESPYs. I find that media days, and I've gone to them I don't know how many years, and pretty consistently since we started this. In fact, this will be the first one I've missed. But it's the whole idea of FaceTime with these coaches and players. It's kind of like, hey, how are you doing? I haven't seen you. How are things going? Good. See you later. Because there's 200 other guys that are trying to get some FaceTime with you. And I think that's important. So I'm glad you're going. So knock yourself out. Sports360AZ.com. We partner with the Arizona Republic AZ Central Sports. We have plenty of content up on our website right now. In fact, man, this morning I opened up the site and it's just loaded with stuff. There's recruiting news on the high school and college football front. There's a bunch of stuff around the Suns and their summer league. Good content with Pedro from yesterday. And some human interest stories we see around the valley as well. And around the state of Arizona. We are statewide. We're Arizona, Arizona, Arizona-centric. Thanks for being with us.